There's an old rabbinic tale about a farmer who had two sons, and this man was an excellent farmer. And he taught his sons all of the tricks of what it is to be great in agriculture. They tended the land together, growing crops and raising their animals. And when the father got too old to work, his boys took over the running of the farm. Eventually, dad died. And these brothers had built such a strong bond that they continued to work together in an incredibly cooperative way. Now, as they got older, one of the brothers never married, so it was just him, and he had his house, and then his other brother had his house. The other brother did marry, and they had 8 children. And so the one man who had no children thought to himself one day, my brother has 10 mouths to feed, and I'm just an old bachelor here by myself. And he'll need more of the harvest than I do. But because he's such a good, fair man, I don't think he'll renegotiate with me. So I know what I'm going to do. In the middle of the night, I'm going to steal out and I'm going to go into my barns and I'm going to take some of my produce and I'm going to put it into his barn. And just as he was thinking that, his other brother said, you know, my brother, he's all by himself. He doesn't have the blessing of 8 children to help with his caring of his life and his old age. He's going to need more of the supply. I know what I'm going to do. My brother's such a good man. He won't renegotiate with me. So in the middle of the night, I'm going to steal away and I'm going to take some of the things from my barn and I'm going to put them into his barn. And you can imagine what happened. It was a beautiful, clear night, full moon. And the two brothers meet one another as they're going to the respective barns. They come face to face on their mission of generosity. The old rabbi, in concluding the story, puts it this way. There wasn't a cloud in the sky that night, but a gentle rain began to fall. You know why? God was weeping with joy because 2 of his children had gotten the point. 2 of his children had come to realize that generosity is the deepest characteristic of the holy. And because we are made in God's image, our being generous is the secret to joy. Our being generous is the secret to joy. The economy of grace is all about the generosity of God. But I don't know about you, but you need to know about me. When I read that gospel for today, I say to myself, I say, Jonathan self, that gospel makes me kind of irritated. Like, here are these guys, they started working at 6 o'clock in the morning, and they work until 6 at night, they work 12 hours, they're working in the heat of the day, and they get paid the same as the guys, those slackers who came in at 5 in the afternoon. What does this God think he's doing? And I think the reason I get a little irritated and hot under the collar, because I think I'm the 6 a.m. guy, right? I mean, I'm working hard for the kingdom, I'm giving it my all. Jesus says, hold on, Jonathan. He doesn't call me Father Jonathan. But hold on, Jonathan. I think we have a little bit of work to do in your heart. Because, you know, you're doing something that's appropriate. There is the economy of justice. Justice matters. We need HR departments in workplaces. And the Catholic Church, in her teaching on social justice, from back at the end of the 19th century, has been very clear on the importance of equitable wages and being willing to pay people what they're due for the work that they do. But then we have to realize that this is a parable of Jesus. Oh, yeah! And I told you this before, every parable of Jesus has a twist. And the twist is, that is the dumbest story I've ever heard. Every parable, we're to react in that way. This one's just a little bit more obvious. Okay, that is the dumbest employer ever. Like, I'm never going to work for him again. Well, I've had time to sit with this text all week long. So that's what I've been thinking about. But what we need to sort of appreciate about this passage is something very, very significant. Part of the reason it unsettles us is we are so prone to measure our identity according to our achievements and how hard we work. And listen, there's nothing wrong with working hard and having achievements, but if we're going to live according to the economy of grace, we need to understand it from a different perspective. And that is that we don't approach God on the terms of justice, primarily in terms of what's fair. Rather, we approach him on the grounds of his grace. That is his mercy. And that's what this parable is all about. And that's what today's readings are all about. It goes back to the Old Testament. In that Old Testament reading, Isaiah looks to the time when God wants to shower out his abundant mercy upon people. He wants people to come to him because, as the text says, he is the God who abundantly pardons. But then Isaiah almost anticipated that Jesus would tell this crazy parable that we would not get. So Isaiah says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." How do we grow in living according to the economy of grace? Let me tell you two stories briefly. The first is about a man named Monsieur Félix Le Sœur, who lived in the 19th century in France. He was raised in a Catholic home, but then he went to medical school, and as so happens, when kids go to university, he lost his faith. No more faith, he became an atheist. But he married a woman who had a deep love for Jesus. And as Le Sœur went farther from Jesus, she went closer to him. And throughout the years, she was praying for him. Sadly, she died prematurely, well, kind of prematurely. She was only 47. Félix had never read his wife's diaries, but she thought, well, now she's dead, might as well check out what she wrote. And what struck him as he read his diaries was her love, the way in which they articulated a meaning and a purpose to life that he, as a doctor, even didn't have. The economy of grace touched Félix's life. At the age of 56, he became a devout Catholic. And a little later in life, he was ordained a Roman Catholic priest. Saint Angela was born in the year 1248. But at that time, she was no saint, let me tell you. She was married at a young age, came from a very wealthy family. And even in the 13th century, you know, if you have lots of money, you can have a good time. And hey, life is pretty good. Why don't I just party hardy and have a good time? And she did for many years. But there were a series of natural disasters, an ongoing war that led to her to re-examine her priorities. So if you have children in their late tweens, their late teens or early 20s, and they're kind of just living like Angela, just keep praying for them. They'll hopefully get to a point where they'll say, I've actually been barking up the wrong tree. This tree doesn't satisfy in the way that it's supposed to. Angela discovered this. And what happened, again, it was through tragedy. Her husband died, her mother died, her two children died. And through these events, it actually became the opportunity that she went to confession for the first time in many years. And through this confession, she experienced the economy of grace, the mercy of Jesus Christ. And late in life, she returned to the Lord and eventually became a lay Franciscan. You know, when we hear stories of people like Félix and Saint Angela, we celebrate that here, later in life, they came into the vineyard and God and the angels in heaven rejoiced that these two entered into the economy of grace. This is what God is always wanting to impart to us. Whether we start at 6 a.m., or 5 p.m. in the afternoon, when it comes to the allocation of pay they received, it's the same because we all receive from his abundant mercy, his abundant grace. What Jesus wants us to see in this parable, what the brothers in the rabbinic story with which I began this evening's homily, what Félix and Angela realized is this: Life is a gift. My identity is not measured primarily in what I produce. My identity is primarily based on who and what I receive. And the key to the parable is found at the end. Are you envious because I am generous? I love St. Paul. Man, that guy was always thinking about the economy of grace. Always, always, always. And in today's reading, he's in jail. It's around the year 62 AD. He's under house arrest. It's kind of like COVID back in 62 AD. And here he is under house arrest. And he says these beautiful words. If I'm to live in the flesh, it means fruitful labor. If I die, it's going to be better. I don't know which to prefer. I'm hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and to be with Christ, for that's far better, but I'll be remaining in the flesh. Do you see what St. Paul understands here? He understands the economy of grace. He understands that his life is one where he wants to live every day in the vineyard of the Lord, working not out of a sense of, give me what I deserve, out of a sense of, I can't wait to receive the reward that the gracious King is going to give me. What does a life look like that's influenced by the economy of grace? Well, Paul puts it this way at the end of today's reading. Live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, there are two ways I want to apply this. The first is by continuing to pray for your family members, for those who are like Felix and Angela, far from the Lord. Never, ever give up praying. Never give up sacrificing for them either. When you have that night where you wake at 3 a.m. with a toothache, or you're just kind of preoccupied even with things that are anxiety-inducing for you, use that suffering to pray for your loved ones. Say, Jesus, I give this suffering to you on behalf of my loved one. Please bring about their conversion. Help them to come into the economy of grace. And the second application is one that, well, I'm actually preaching all of the masses this weekend because I'm asking for money. I'm making an explicit money request. I've been at St. Peter 7 years. I have only done this once before. So you can't leave this homily and say, that Father Jonathan, he's always asking us for money, because it just isn't true. But today it is. And this is what I want you to prayerfully consider. Each year, St. Peter's is asked to contribute to Together in Action. It's known as TIA. This is the yearly bishop's appeal. And for 2023, the goal is to raise $2 million. $1.4 million goes to various ministries within the diocese. Like, for instance, caring for our retired priests. A significant amount of the money goes for their hospital care, for their care in the homes where they are. And then also, things like the Calgary Immigration Society Refugee Support, helping people come from countries like Ukraine to help them be established here. Over the next 4 years, each year $600,000 will also be used to help for local or regional healing and reconciliation initiatives for residential school survivors, their families, and their communities. If you go to the TIA website, there's these words that are right there on the homepage, and they speak about the economy of grace. I'm going to read them now. In sharing his infinite love, we become a bright light in this dark world and bring glory to his name through our actions. Our dedication to service and love will surely inspire others to do the same. Your generous donation to TIA will go a long way in helping us continue our ministries and making a positive difference in the world. TIA is a concrete way to participate in the economy of grace. Now let me get specific. St. Peter's 2023 target is just under $75,000. To date, we have raised $21,000, which means we have about $53,500 left. You might think, wow, that's a lot of money. And in a way, it is. But believe me, I am no economist and not very good at math. But Cindy, help me do this very simple math. This year, oh, she's our bookkeeper. This year, we have identified 995 givers. If each of these givers contributed $54, let me say that again. If each of these people contributed $54, we will reach our target of $75,000. I think this is manageable. I want to ask you, and you don't have to put up your hand and answer this question, have you contributed to Together in Action this year? I'll be absolutely upfront. I was writing this homily this morning and realized, shoot, I haven't. So I did. So I want you to know, as your pastor, I'm not asking you to do anything I haven't done. And you know how long it took me? 3 minutes. It was really easy, really simple, and it's done. So what I would like to ask you to consider doing is to pray about this. Can you contribute $54 to Together in Action this year? Maybe you can contribute more. Some of you might be able to contribute a lot more. That would be wonderful. Some of you might not be able to contribute that much. You can contribute less. That's fine. Remember the parable of the workers in the vineyard? It's not the time. It's not, in a sense, the amount. It's the intention behind it. And because we live in the modern age, there's a way that this can be done super easily. You might have wondered, where's Father Jonathan's slides? He's not using them tonight. No, I'm not, because I want my show and tell to be this. This card is available on the tables in the narthex. That's the lobby. It lists the various ministries that we're contributing to this year for TIA, and it has a little bit of a description. And then there's this lovely little QR code. I tried it this afternoon, but make sure, if you're going to use the QR code, that you don't have your phone in the portrait or the video mode. I did that and it didn't work. You have to have it in the photo mode. But if you do that and you do this, oh, look at that. It goes right to the website. Then if you go to the website, it will say donate here or donation. Make sure if you do make a donation through the diocese that you're making it for St. Peter's. Indicate that it's for St. Peter's, and then also say you want the diocese to let Cindy know you made the donation. That's really, really, really important, okay? You can also make the donation through our own website. We have a donation page, and you can indicate that this is for Together in Action. You know what my hope is? We have a thermometer out in the narthex. At the moment, it's really down towards the bottom. My hope is a month from now, it's going to be at the top. In 2022, we fulfilled our TIA commitment by the end of October. I'm challenging us to do the same this year. In conclusion, think back to the story with which I began this homily. Brothers who thought of the other and to express such a simple act of generosity. And how did God respond to such an act? He cried. Because people who are learning the way of generosity, they're economists in the gospel of grace. And as the rabbi said, God weeping for joy because two of his children had gotten the point. Our being generous is the secret to our joy as well. I hope that God will shed many tears of joy when he sees the generosity of you, the parishioners of St. Peter's, when it comes to Together in Action.